The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome to another tremendous Tuesday.
Isn't that what we said last time?
Tremendous. We did. And you know what? I was looking up other words when we got all online and then we started babbling and then that never happened. So it's another tremendous Tuesday. I'm just saying.
Tremendously terrific Tuesday.
Oh, terrific. That's a good one.
Tremendously terrific.
Wow.
And tantalizing Tuesday. Okay.
Tantalizing. Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't know where they're coming from, but I'm inspired.
I love it.
Tundra Tuesday, Joe says in the chat room.
We're definitely up in the tundra this week, that's for sure. So yeah, Tundra Tuesday works too.
It is the Tundra Tuesday.
Yeah,
good one, Joe. I think Joe wins the prize, best word of the, for our alliteration.
Well,
Tuesday alliteration.
I really like Tantalizing Tuesday, but just given fact to the way that the weather feels out there, and I know we don't talk about the weather really, but oh man, I feel like we're on the tundra this week up here in the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yeah.
So Tundra Tuesday it is.
Oh, wins. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah. Maybe next week it'll be the Tantalizing Tuesday.
Exactly. Tantalizingly terrific and
yes.
Tasmanian Devil Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm coming up with a good one. All right. Anyway, hey, you know what? I want to apologize to everybody in the chat room. I felt awful last week because I totally mixed up my sentences. You know, I was doing that a little bit last week, too. I was mixing up my words and saying two things at once, and it was stupid. So I want to apologize because I was trying to say, you guys, you're awesome, is basically what I was trying to say, and my words got all mixed up, and I made some, like, total dang remark to my chat room fellow awesome folks. So anyway, that was right at the end of the show, and I apologize again. That was stupid. I apologized in the chat room, and I'm apologizing officially. It was not how it meant. How it came out was not how it was meant. So anyway, you guys are awesome.
Well, yeah, and you know, sometimes things just come out wrong. You know, it is. You know, we especially when we're reading. Here's the thing: if you know, we read the chat room and we try to talk, and things just come out all jumbled up. You know, sometimes because we're trying to type something or look at something and then stuff comes out of our mouth.
And talk at the same time.
Yeah. And normally, you know, if you weren't on the radio, it would be no big deal because whoever you were with would just look at you like, are you out of your mind? But because we're on the radio, we really, you know, we don't realize it till later. And then it's like, oh.
Yeah, that was bad. You know, and usually if one of us isn't talking, it's because we're typing.
Yeah.
And you know, so we take turns like typing and talking and talking and typing because you can't, it's really, okay, for me, it's tough to do both at the same time, to be typing one thing and saying something else. So anywho, not that that's an excuse, but anyway, just wanted to get that out there first because we do have pretty much the coolest chat room on the planet.
We do.
And yeah, you guys are inspiring to say the least. So anyway, it's awesome. Freudian slip cat says in the chat room, we'll call it that, sure. I don't know what kind of slip it was, but it was my bad.
It was a slip. It was all good.
It was not intended. So anyway,
You've really been thinking about this. Holy moly.
I have. I've been actually stressed out all week. I was almost sick to my stomach after the show last week because I felt so horrible. And anyway, yeah, I thought the first thing I'm going to do is apologize because that was dumb.
Oh, geez. See, and Joseph never even noticed. So, see, I mean, but you noticed.
I noticed huge. I was like sweating. My face was red. I felt terrible. Thought I was going to get sick.
Oh, my gosh.
It was terrible. Awful.
It's all good.
Anyway, now we're everybody's going to go back and listen to last week's show in the podcast.
Yeah.
Kat says she laughed her butt off when it happened. I'm so glad you knew it was a screw up, Kat. Thank you. And Karen signed off early. Okay. Yeah, I totally screwed up. You guys will have to listen to
it. It's because of what you said. You know what? I'm going to have to go back and listen to it now, too, because I just don't remember.
I remember when it
happened, but I didn't think it was a big deal. You know,
it wasn't a big deal. I just felt horrible.
Yeah, I remember you said that. I'm like,
I realized what I did right away. It's like, oh gosh.
Whatever.
We love our chat room. It is so cool. You know, we've gotten so many ideas for the show from our chat room, folks.
Absolutely.
That's how cool you guys are.
Yeah.
We love the chat room.
We do.
We love your side conversations that end up happening too, because sometimes they're pretty funny, and they're totally off base of where we're at on the show, but it's still cool.
Oh yeah.
So
even when we did the live thing on Facebook, the people that were watching and commenting, it was like I felt like I was reading the chat room, even though we weren't on we were on the radio.
Yeah, it was cool. It did feel like we were on our show.
It did
for a minute.
It did.
It was cool.
I know. So, cool. We do. We have the best listeners and the best people in our chat room.
Best listeners. You're right. Best listeners, best chat room, period.
Yep. Absolutely.
Says
so,
us.
Thank you. Woohoo. All of you.
Yeah. So, I'm sure ParaX as a whole has awesome listeners, awesome chat room, awesome owners, producers, everything. It's great. Great.
Yes. Absolutely. We're all phenomenal. Everybody's phenomenal on ParaX. Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah. So, well, anyway, so what are we going to talk about?
Oh, I was going to ask what you've been up to, other than the cold.
Oh, well, other than, shivering me timbers, not a lot. Yeah. I have been going out.
Shiver me timbers. I was drinking my tea and I was trying to spit it out laughing.
Shivering my timbers. Yeah, I have been going out, to see the owls because, of course, I'm worried about Mama. And I'll be worried about her now until those fledglings fledge and they fly away for the while, But I was over there today with Melly and she did pretty good. I know I was telling you yesterday, because you're not supposed to take the dogs out right now. For those of you who don't live in Minnesota, it's just too cold for them to go for a walk. But yesterday I took her, we drove down to the beach and then we got out of the car in the parking lot and walked almost to the lake. Not that we were going to go on the lake, but almost. And then she's like, got to go. Zoom back to the car and back home. So today I took her to I thought maybe we could go see the owls. And so we parked really close to the hill so that she wouldn't have to walk on any pavement. And she did a good job. We actually went through the trails, through the woods, up to see the owls and talked to, a friend of ours and looked at Papa and Mama's in the nest and came home. But she shot, oh my gosh, when she knew we were coming home, I thought she was going to kill me because she was like running full force through the woods. And I'm like, I've never seen her run so fast. So
she, I can imagine it's funny because she's like a little barrel. No, wait, she's a big barrel. Every time I see her, I call her the barrel because she looks like a barrel with a head and little legs coming out.
Well, she does because, she's Labrador. She's Labrador and Basset Hound. So she's like a full-size lab with those little Basset Hound legs, right? So she's very low to the ground, but full body.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, anyway, so that's what we've been doing. I've been going out here and there, but spending a lot of time just kind of watching TV, and I never do that, right? So this is kind of bizarre for me, but it's been kind of fun,
Yeah, well, that's good. So the chat room, Jerry said, I think he's calling us out because we're calling her a barrel, and he said she's my baby too. Well, in a good way, Jerry. It's all out of love for sure.
Yeah.
And then Karen said in the chat room, do you have booties on her feet?
Nah,
and actually before the show, I was counseling Stephanie on how to get booties because Mojo wears boots. out in this craziness. And I was counseling Stephanie on how to get shoes that fit on to Melly so that, and it takes patience. Like you try and get boots on a dog's feet and they're just not having it most of the time.
No.
But my dog is fine now. I mean, he gets it. So he'll stand there and wait for me and I will win every time. So if you're going to fight me on this, then we'll just take longer to get it figured out. That's all. Cause it's for his highest good.
Yeah. And you know, we used to have boots for her, I suppose maybe a couple years ago when we went through that 2 week period where it was like 30 below or whatever, but she hated them. I mean, it was tough getting her on. And then she was like this, and they were the old kind, right? So they weren't like the new ones that they have now. That's why I said, you know, I think I have to go to PetSmart or Petco tomorrow and see what I can find, you know, cause she needs them. Yeah, she's a Bassador, Sherry. That's what they call her, a Bassador. Isn't that crazy? Yes, I am a Bassador. Mm-hmm. She's like I said, she's got the body of a Labrador and the legs of a Bassinhound, including the whammers in front, you know?
Which means she looks like a barrel.
Right. She kind of looks like a seal with legs.
A seal with legs. True. True, actually, now that you say that. She has bigger front legs than back legs, so she kind of sits up a little bit in the front, and yeah, she kind of looks like a seal now that you mention it. Yeah. That's good. I like it.
She's a sweetie pie. She's only got one eye, so she has that issue too, so she doesn't like going out really
well. She's a pirate.
She's a pirate. You know, they called her Matey at the animal shelter when we got her, you know, so we called her Millie because I didn't want to call her Matey, and I thought that was pretty close, but... Yeah, no, she's a cutie pie. Jerry, you should post a picture of her. I know you have lots of pictures at your disposal, and then I don't have to look for one. But she is a sweet pea. Doesn't like other dogs, though, so we have to keep her away from others. But how about you, Heidi? What have you been up to?
Let's see here. Tried to get some snowshoeing in before the cold hit. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, it's we haven't gotten a lot of snow recently, so everything that we've had has kind of settled in and gotten hard, you know, the stuff that has been walked on, of course, on the trails and stuff, so it's kind of packed down, so that wasn't incredibly enjoyable. You know, it's, we haven't had a lot of snow this winter, and so it's been tough for snowshoeing, which is okay. I'm not like begging for more snow, but anyway, you know, so you try and do some of that stuff. I do have all of I have a window here in my workroom, and so I'm gearing up for spring. I have all of my little, I should post a picture or something. I've got all my little heat mats out with my planter things on top so I can start my garden from seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heat up the little mats. I've got all the dirt ready. I've got all the seeds that I want. And I've got a little markers, the little, you know, things and the wrap for over them. And it's in the windowsill, big windowsill. It's kind of like a, I don't know. Like a little greenhouse down here. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm getting ready for spring that way. So that's kind of a nice thing to do during the cold, the frigid temperatures, is think about spring and growing things and starting that now so that by the time spring hits and I can actually get the stuff in the ground, they'll have decent size to them.
Yeah. That would be good. Yeah. Well, it is kind of early though, right? Because it's only February.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to plant quite yet.
Yeah. You're just getting
ready. You know, cuz last year I couldn't get anything in the ground until it was after Memorial Day cuz I was still having frost up here.
Yeah. It was, you know, even though it didn't seem like the overall winter was cold last year, it lasted a long time. It lasted a long time.
It went, even though it was decent spring, the frost still kept happening late.
Yeah.
So
that's what it was. Yeah. No, it is cold. And I know that we were supposed to go north this weekend. And I don't think we're going to do it because the high temperature up there is like 10 below. So I think we're
going to... Yeah, that's without wind chill and all that. Yeah, that makes it not much fun.
So you can imagine. So we're going to postpone, you know, for a few weeks. It's fine. It's cool. Better than freezing. You know, we freeze all the time. So, you know. But yeah, when you're up there, sometimes it is actually, it's just too dangerous, you know, because we wanted to get out on the lake, right, and snowshoe around the lake, and you just can't when the wind is howling and it's 10 below zero, you know. So,
yeah, anyway. It becomes not enjoyable at that point.
Well, exactly. And then my hands.
And dangerous.
You know, I can be out there and everything is warm except for these. And I wear double mittens. I have the best mittens on planet Earth.
I was going to say, you can't just say with these because we're not on TV.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But
she's holding up her hands, folks.
It's my fingers, you know, and they've just been frozen so many times over the years and they're so arthritic now that it doesn't matter what I wear on them. They still get cold, you know? So that's what the issue is. But Karen is saying she just ordered all of her stuff too. So everybody's getting ready for this. So that's awesome.
For spring.
Mm-hmm. I like
it. It's going to be good. I hope I have a lot of extra stuff. I hope my plants do well so that I can give stuff away.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
I like doing that. If people want stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, so lots going on. Anywho. Lots going on. You know, it's a crazy time. Crazy time right now. So, Heidi, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Okay, so this is a topic that I thought was kind of fun, and we actually touched on it just briefly last week in the chat room, and I thought, let's save it for this week because we're going to talk about this anyway. So mm-hmm. we're going to talk about divination tools, and if you don't know what that is, it's tools that we use to communicate with spirit. So we're going to talk about divination tools, but we're putting a little twist on it tonight and talking about divination tools that you already have at home that you can use for divination and talking with spirit. Here is my disclaimer. Don't just start doing it. Please make sure that you set up your proper protections before you do this. We're talking about this in good fun and you know, ideas if you're looking to, you know, because, you know, we're doing the lockdown or the stay at home or not a lot of stuff's going on and, you know, looking for ideas of ways to do some fun things and not maybe spend a lot of money because, you know, not everybody's working right now or not working as much or whatever the situation is. So I thought, well, let's talk about some tools that you can use at home that you already probably have to do divination. But if you're going to be talking with spirit, just make sure that you are setting up proper protections. You close down your session when you're done. And if you need help, you consult someone that is an expert or that has some experience doing this. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there's my disclaimer.
Okay? Yeah. No, that's good.
So last week, one of the things that came up in the chat room, I don't remember if it was Sherry or who it was, asked about wands and if I use wands. And I mm-hmm. do work with wands. And I'm trying to think if I have four or five wands that I work with. And one of them I bought, two have been gifted to me, and two I've made. And they all have different purposes. And so I do work with wands. And wands can actually be, so any of the tools really, before we go into what each one is, any of the tools that you work with are really just a focus of intention. There's a tool that focuses your intention. So whatever your intention is for the session, you know, because really it's what's happening. It's you're focusing your intention for some outcome, right? Whether it's communication or to make a spell or to do a protection or, you know, to whatever, set some intention. That's what the tool is helping you do. It's helping you focus that intention. And so the different wands I have do different things. Like they do those things that I just mentioned. They can help set a sacred space. They one I have when I'm doing herb work. And one of them is to help me with when I do home clearings. So anyway, there's different tools that wands have told me as they've come into my life what they're going to help me do and how they're going to want to work with me. So I have different wands for different things. But if you think about it, if a wand is focusing an intention, then really there's so many different things at your house that are actually wands that you already use and you wouldn't even think about it. Because mm-hmm. think of a ballpoint pen or mm-hmm. a pencil. That's mm-hmm. focusing your intention on communication. Right? So technically, a pen or a pencil is focusing that intention from your brain down your hand, out your hand and the pen to whatever it is that you're writing on. So it's focusing that intention for communication. So you have, you know, pens and pencils are actually wands. Think mm-hmm. about paintbrushes, same thing, mm-hmm. focusing your intention to create some kind of art. So paintbrush is a wand. You know, mm-hmm. and I know that probably doesn't sound very exciting and you're like, oh, that's not what I thought this show was going to be about. But it gets you thinking, right? Think about, now I'm going to hold this up, a lighter, I'm holding up one of those, what are these called? The stick lighters or the long, those long lighters. It could be any kind of lighter, but it's focusing your intention on creating a flame, you know, so your energy is channeling through your body, out your hand, through this device that creates fire. So you have all sorts of tools in your house that are already wands. But we're talking about mystical, magical stuff here. So wands, you could use any kind of stick that you find outside. You know, because sometimes we're thinking, oh, wand is going to be a piece of wood, right? But you don't necessarily want to whittle something or go buy something or spend money on something, especially if it's not, if you're not connected to it. So you could go outside, and I've done this plenty of times. I know Tim has done this as well. And before, let's say you're going to go for a walk, not right now in the tundra, but someday when it's a little warmer, and you can walk outside and say, if there is a gift, if Mother Earth would like to gift me, or a tree around here would like to gift me with a wand, please let me know. And you can start walking around. And if you see a stick on the ground or whatever, you can ask, is this a stick that's being gifted to me for a wand? Mm-hmm. And you have to ask, you know, and certainly it should already be on the ground. Don't take one off of a tree. Don't take a living branch. Don't cut one down. Don't rip one down. No. This has to be something that's gifted and already ready for use. So it should already be on the ground. But you still ask. You don't just start picking up all the sticks and say, hey, I'm going to take you, I'm going to take you, I'm going to take you. You want to ask, you know, and feel it. Hold the stick and say, hey, is this going to be something for me? Or you might see it right away and just know, like, oh my gosh, this is a cool branch. I think this is going to be a wand. And so you can use wands, you know, a stick that you pick up off the ground that you can use for wand. You don't even have to do anything with it. You don't have to whittle it. You don't have to strip the bark. You don't have to decorate it or anything. You can use and work with a stick just as is. Mm-hmm. And then one of the cool things you can do with it is meditate with it or sit with it and let it tell you what it's going to do to help you, like how it wants to work with you. We can try and decide, but a lot of times our tools will tell us what it's going to do to help us. And it's best to go with their energy and try to, instead of trying to force the tool to do something that we want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, asking the tool what it wants to help us out with.
Mm-hmm.
So you can ask the stick, how do you want to help me? And it's cool when you find one that actually fits. It fits. Like when you hold it, you know, right? You just know. Do you have a wand, Steph?
You know, I don't have a wand per se. I have a little fairy wand that Jerry gifted me with years ago.
Right.
That's for protection. Yep. It is for protection. It's only for me and nobody ever touches it because it was mine. It was for me. You know, he had it crafted for me. And so it sits in the fairy house. I haven't really used it, and that's okay. But I do, you know, like you said, don't ever take things from trees. And I just have to reiterate that. Don't ever pull them off a live tree or off a live plant. You know, look on the ground, find things that are there already. Like, you know, I have quite a collection of pine cones, for example, that the mama pines have given me over the years, you know, and I have them everywhere. They bring a certain energy to my house and I love it, you know? But yeah, no, I think a wand is, you remember I said, if you do the wand making class, I would love to come this, you know, whenever
it's really fun.
If I can, you know?
Yeah. We have a lot of fun in that class. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Let's see, you're Sherry in the chat room said, can wands have souls? And yes, they can. They would have the soul, part of the soul of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different than like our souls, you know, it's tree soul, which is difference. You can feel the difference, but definitely the energy of that tree is in the wood still. Yeah. And that's why you have to ask too, because you will pick some up and know that it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you're like, nope, this isn't the one. And you put it back down and say, okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find one that you pick up and you think, oh, this is it. And then you say, thanks for that too. Like, thank you for the gift here.
Yep.
So, so it's, they definitely do. They have the energy of the tree and the surrounding land.
So how do you use these wands, Heidi? So when you use one of your wands, say this is a wand, how do you use it? I mean, is it like a Harry Potter thing where you say, you know, whatever, or how do you use them?
Mm-hmm. So it depends on what the work is that I'm doing. Sometimes it's kind of Harry Potter-ish if I'm doing a home clearing or some kind of work at a house that needs a, like a protection set. Or if I'm casting a circle, then it will be kind of like that.
Okay.
If I'm working with a wand to work with my herbs, then I'll use it as an instrument to stir, and it's really focusing my intention for the wands into the herbs. And so the intentions that I have that I'm saying in my head over and over, or that I'm even saying out loud, or the energies that I'm calling in as I'm mixing them, are channeling through me, out my, you know, out my hand through the wand, and really focusing that intention into the herbs that I'm stirring. So it just depends on what I'm doing and what wand I'm working with. That depends on how I work with it, how I hold it, how I cast with it, you know, things like that.
So they're talking about, so Dave started this with, don't ever show your wand in public.
I think he's being silly. I think he's being naughty.
Okay. I don't know a lot about
wands. Now they're going sideways with it. They're talking about wands and silly things. We're not going to talk about that in the show. Okay. So, you naughty folks.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. We're just going
to... So the energy that you're projecting and the intentions you're projecting are going through the wand to whatever it is that you are trying to make happen. He's talking about brandishing, yeah. But that's what you're saying. So you're focusing it through the wand. The energies come out of the wand and then help you... complete your task.
Yep, they're focusing your intention. And then Mike in the chat room asked, so a good walking stick counts as a wand. Yes.
Yeah,
a walking stick, a cane, you know, anything like that would be considered a wand because it's focusing your intention on stability and grounding. So yes, it would be. I have a talking stick and a dancing stick at my studio that are wands, and they're bigger, and they focus the intention on communication and movement. So yeah, you know, walking stick. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, because I have that one. Remember that one, Heidi, that we had when my knee was super bad and we were squatching, and that I got that stick and I used it, and then I put it where we parked our cars, and I said, if this is here next time, it's mine. And it was. So it's up in my dining room. I use it a lot when we go out in the woods. Jerry wrapped part of it with some leather for me. So yeah, so really, so that's like a wand, you're saying, because it's for the stability and the
awesome. Absolutely. Yeah, so that's wands, and I have other tools I want to talk about, so I'm going to keep moving.
Yeah,
but if we need to have a different show just about wands, we should just certainly do that, and any of these might spawn off into their own show, but we'll keep moving because we're going to talk about other things that you might have around your house for divination tools. So I'll cover another one here before the break, then we'll take a break. My next one is a pendulum, and pendulums are often used for communication, you know, to find simple answers to questions. They can also be used to find lost items, things like that. And the easiest form of a pendulum is to take a ring and put it on a piece of string or a chain or necklace or something like that. So you want to make sure it's heavy enough, though. The ring or whatever it is that's hanging from the chain or the cord needs to be heavy enough that it has... it doesn't just flop around, you know, it has to be able to have some kind of weight to it. So it has some movement, but not so heavy that it can't move. So you have to be, you know, find that perfect thing. Cause I think some little teeny rings will just, they won't be able to move. They won't even be able to hold down the cord that they're on. So anyway, it's, a pendulum is anything that you can hang from a string or a cord and use for divination.
I've even heard about people using needles, right? So thread and a needle, a heavier needle, because that's what they used to use in the old days, because that's what they had, right? So you could do that if it was a bigger needle, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it just has to have its own movement, you know, not be influenced by your breath or by your hand moving, which can be tough, you know, so you have to be careful how you position your hand. But, you know, you can ask questions and establish, you know, something like a pendulum. It's helpful if maybe you even draw out on a piece of paper, like in, you know, back in the day, they probably drew it out in the dirt or something. But the direction of like, yes, no, maybe later, you know, whatever, you want to add a few different things possibly. But if it goes like north, south, it's yes. If it goes east, west, it's no, I mean, or whatever. So, A plumb bob. Yeah, same difference. If you have a plumb bob, actually, that would work. If it's not too heavy, because you also have to hold it for a certain amount of time. Karen in the chat room was saying plumb bob. So yeah, that would be the same thing. If you have, if you're a carpenter or do housework and you have a plumb bob hanging around, that could work. So, but a pendulum is a easy thing to make if you have a piece of jewelry that you can hang on a cord or a string or a piece of leather or a piece of yarn, you know, whatever you have laying around. Again, proper protections before you do something like this. But that's easy. Easy. Most people have something that has a little bit of weight that they can hang on a string or a piece of yarn or something. Or a necklace if you have a plain necklace that you could use too. That would work.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know what? We've gone through 30 minutes. I think it's time for our break. So everyone, stay with us. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss Radio Show. Get lost with us.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark Nola Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network, and we're talking about divination tools that you have laying around at home. You may not even know it. And we've just talked about wands and pendulums, and one of the questions in the chat room was from Katz while we were on break, and she asked, has anyone had a pendulum move and stay in one direction, not weaving back and forth, but pulling to one side and staying there? And I will say that, yes, that's happened to me. I was actually in a Reiki class, and I was, you know, so I had someone laying on the table as, you know, is my model, you know, on how to do certain techniques, whatever. And I was moving a pendulum through their energy field. And as I was moving it down the chakras, it started to hang back as it was caught on an energy block. And it was like hanging back. So it was at an angle. And of course, that shouldn't happen. And everybody in the class, I thought they were going to fall out of their chairs. Everybody's eyes were bugged out. And they're like, what? And I said, do you guys see that? And they're like, yeah, how could you miss that? Yeah. And so it was showing that there was an energy block in this person's field, and the pendulum was actually holding back as I was moving it. And so that was pretty cool. And that actually has happened quite a bit. But anyway, I thought, yeah, that's pretty cool to show like how real energy blocks can be, you know, that you can use something like that to prove it. And I mean, prove it in front of four people, right? That's what it, or five people, whatever it was. But anyway, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's cool to have other people witness something like that. That's
sure.
So
for sure.
Okay, let's move on. Next is divining rods. And this might not be something you have laying around because How many people still use wire hangers? I don't know how many people still have wire hangers. If you get stuff done at the dry cleaning place, you might have some wire hangers laying around. So you could use or make divining rods out of wire hangers. It might take a little bending and straightening and monkey business, but you could, you know, work with some wire hangers because they're pretty easy to bend. You don't want anything that's too tough, but you could do that with your wire hangers from, if you go to the, again, if you go to the, what did I just say? Dry cleaner.
Dry cleaners. Yep.
Yeah. And you can use them for divining rods. Now, divining rods can be, they're usually a piece of metal. I have brass ones. People have copper ones, different kinds of metals. I guess it's whatever your preference is. You know, obviously metal is going to be a better conductor than like plastic ones. But anyway, you know, if that's all you had was a piece of 90 degree formed plastic, try it and see what happens. I'm not going to judge.
Yeah. Sticks, people use sticks too, but
you can use a divining rod. I have two of them that were made for me that were made out of a branch and they work well. They work well for more of finding things, especially outside. They work well because they're natural. They're sticks and they like to be outside with that when they're divining rods. So I have worked with divining rods that way. They're a Y-shaped branch and you can work with those as well. These I'm talking about inside using divining rods to, you can use them to find things, of course. Of course, water. You can use them to find water. But also you can ask for, you can ask, use them asking yes and no questions. So you can ask spirit to show you yes and then no and then test it a few times and then you can, you know, work with them to start asking questions. But they're also handy if you need to find something, you know. Anyway, Mike in the chat room said he has a ton of wire hangers. Well, Mike, you should try this. No, you don't have to try it, but you could.
Yeah, we do use dowsing. In fact, dowsing rods in paranormal investigation is really a good thing to have. I like to go old school sometimes and use those, you know.
I do too. I make them.
They're awesome. Actually,
yeah, Tim and I have made quite a few pairs of them, and we have used them on paranormal investigations then, and they're really, really helpful.
Oh, yeah.
For communicating or locating, you know, energies, things like that. They're really cool.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people who use them, but those of us who do love them, I think, you know, we always have them with. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So, yeah, divining rods. Those you might be able to make if you have wire hangers at home. Or if you wanted to, you'd probably have to do a little research. And if you wanted to find a Y-shaped branch, it has to be the right size, right weight. And then I've heard that if you don't want to use it to find water, you should put a piece of metal in the end of the one, you know, the end of the rod part to block the energy of finding water. That's what I was told.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The one that I was gifted had a nickel slot carved into it, and a nickel was put in there, into both of them. They each had a nickel in there. So anyway,
so like at the base, so if it's like a stick like this, and then there's two sticks that come out of it like this, you know, it's
if it was
one,
a Y,
so then it would put in the base.
Yeah,
it would go on the base. Okay.
Yep, because you're going to hold on to the split part. If you're if you're looking at a Y and the split is at the top. That's the part you're holding on to. And you're holding on to it not like you're holding on to a wheelbarrow. A lot of people look at divining rods like you're going to hold on to the Y part as if you're walking a wheelbarrow. And that's not actually the right way to do it. It's
you hold it the stick.
You actually hold it underhanded. You hold it up like this. You guys can't see me. I'm showing stuff. You hold it like up by your shoulders and hold it up like under the stick and it works really well. You can actually feel the pull of the stick. It's very cool. I taught a class on it at the Palmer House and people were just like, wow, this is cool. And they came up and tried because I had two of them afterwards and they were trying the stick and they're like, this is cool. I'm like, I know, right? This stuff works because you could feel the stick getting pulled. If you're walking it like a wheelbarrow, you know, this Y stick, it's all over the place and you can't tell what's getting pulled and whatever because your arms are, you know, it's just not not a very effective way to hold it. So anyway.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see here. Rain said, have you followed the dowsing rods with an EMF detector by chance? Yes, because I have worked with them in paranormal investigations and had really awesome results where the dowsing rods or divining rods and the gear, not just EMF detectors, but, you know, like K2 meters. And we've had, I can't think of the names of them.
Millimeters?
REM pods.
Oh, yeah. REM pods.
REM pods, sorry. We'd get hits at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rain is asking the Palmer House in Chicago. No, unfortunately, not that one. I'm talking about the Palmer House in Sauk Center, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, dowsing rods can be very cool. And you can make them at home if you have wire hangers. So
I actually like them better than all the electronic versions like EMF detectors and K2 meters, to be honest. You know, except that the only advantage you have with the other ones is that if you're in the dark, if you're investigating at night and it's dark, you can't really see the dowsing. You can feel them, but you can't really, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What I did with some of mine is I painted glow-in-the-dark paint on the ends.
Like neon paint?
Yep. So you can see it in the dark. You have to...
Good idea.
You have to hold them in the light beforehand so that they will light up in the dark. But and eventually it'll fade if they don't get some light on them, you know, to charge them up again. But glow-in-the-dark paint on the ends of the rods just a little bit so you can see them moving, and that helps.
Yep. I like it. That's a great idea.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's keep moving because we've got more stuff here. Okay, we've got a couple of things that are super easy if you want to do scrying. So you can take a cup of water, or you could do a mirror, or some kind of mirrored surface like a stone. Like I have obsidian discs, you know, that I have at the studio. But, you know, if you have any kind of mirrored surface or even a cup of water, because that would be a mirrored surface, you can do some scrying. And that would be, of course, if you have access to water, which I hope you all do, and a cup, there you go. You've got an opportunity to do some scrying. And basically, it's kind of like a meditation where you would gaze into the water. You can ask a question or ask spirit to show you something and gaze into the water and kind of let your eyes... like blur. Lose focus. Yeah, blur. And then you can use that for divination. It's the same concept as using like a crystal ball, that you could do that as well. So scrying with a cup of water is free, I hope, for you.
Yeah.
For all of you out there, if you have access to water, you can also ask that it stop being a scrying tool at the end, and then you can give the water to your plant so it doesn't go to waste. Or drink it, you know, if you want, depending on what comes through. If something is not good coming through, first of all, shut the session down and then ask the water to be free of whatever this energy is and then go dump it outside or something. But anyway, bowl of water for scrying makes a very handy tool. Now, Sherry is asking about, I don't even know what the first one is.
Buddha. I don't know what that is.
Talisman, prayer bells, prayer wheels. Okay. Yes, those can be used for all sorts of things, but this is more about what you already have in your home, and not everybody has those kind of things in their home.
Yeah.
So we're talking about some average everyday items that you have in your home to use for divination. So not everybody has those items. But if you did, you could work with those as well. And yeah, okay. So thank you. Good question. Next. Okay, so tea leaves. I actually have a cup of tea here in front of me. And I did have loose tea in there, and then I took it out because I wasn't thinking. Because I have this loose tea that I'm drinking right now. It's lovely. But if you wanted to, I had the tea leaves, and you could dump them out into a cup or just even on a plate or something. And do the same thing that you would do with scrying and with water. And just take the tea leaves and... once you've steeped them in the water, you can take the tea leaves and dump them onto like a plate, or you can leave them in the cup, you know, if they are already in the cup and you strain them out of the cup, or however you want to do it. But you look at the tea leaves and look for, again, you kind of let your eyes blur out a little bit and look for patterns. Look for, it's almost matrixing, you know, we're looking for images that spirit can put into these tea leaves, into these patterns to find pictures and messages. Yeah. So you can use tea leaves. So I'm drinking a lovely cup of, it's like chamomile and lavender and all this stuff. And so the the flowers and the leaves from this, you know, you can dump out and put into something that you just kind of let them fall. Don't worry about how they land. And then just stare at them for a little bit and let your eyes kind of fuzz out a little bit and just see what you see.
Mm-hmm. What about coffee?
With coffee grounds?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you could do it. I haven't done it with coffee grounds, but I would imagine you could. I have done readings with tea leaves, and it is kind of cool. It feels kind of old world, you know, when you do it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it would be fun to do it like a witchy tea party, you know, get a bunch of your friends together and dress up all fancy dancy and have your fancy teacups and then do a little bit of witchery and divination. And I think that would be kind of fun. Yeah, this is, Rain said this is natural tea leaves and hot water. And so it's not the tea you get in the bag. Usually the tea in the bag, I mean, you could open the tea up in the bag if that's all you had. Because we're talking about what you guys have at home, right? And so if you don't, a lot of people don't have loose leaf tea anymore. So if you had to bust open a bag of tea after you used it, try it. See what happens. I mean, I'm sure that it would still work. You know, why not? Let's give it a go. We're talking about stuff that you already have at home. So if that's all you have is tea bags at home, then make yourself a cup of tea and then take that used tea bag and bust it open onto a plate or into a bowl and see what happens. Try it.
So if you're getting tea leaves from the bottom of your cup, so you're just putting the tea directly into your cup, like say instant coffee, and making the tea, because don't people usually put them in one of those? I'm not a tea drinker, so I have no idea, but don't they have those little ball things
you know,
that you put the tea leaves in?
Yeah, and that's what I have. It looks like a little it's like a little strainer that has no top on it. It's just like a bucket, but it's a strainer, and it sits on top of my tea mug or on top of my mug. So I put the tea in there and then I pour the water through it and then it kind of sits suspended in the water.
Oh, sure.
And then I can take that out and then it looks like an upside down hat, an upside down top hat is what it looks like. So then you take that upside down top hat and just flip it over onto a plate. So all the tea leaves go onto the plate and then however they land, you just leave them.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so you could do it like that because to drink the tea with the tea leaves floating around in there, A, you may not have many left because you drank them, or you're going to get it caught in your teeth or whatever.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
It's just not fun. So I think when you're doing tea leaf reading, you'd strain that stuff out, you know.
And I think coffee, you know, I don't drink instant coffee, but I make French press coffee, right? So you could take those grounds from the French press and put them upside down on a plate and look at them too, you know?
Yep. Right? I would. Why not?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So... Yeah, so reading tea leaves, if you have any, I'd try it. Or if you have just tea in a bag, make yourself a cup of tea, bust open that bag and see what you see. Yeah. Maybe have a notebook handy. That's what I would recommend. Have a little notebook and pen handy, just in case you have some kind of images or pictures and it doesn't make sense right away, that you can
write it down
on hand.
Maybe it will later.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome.
And let's see here. Glass teapot or porcelain? At this point... We're talking about what things people have at home.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that kind of stuff at home, I have a ceramic mug that I'm using right now.
Yeah.
And a metal inverted top hat that I put the tea leaves in. So use what you have at home. Don't worry about going to get something that you don't have, because if you already have it, use what you have. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, okay.
Okay.
Next, let's see here. This is probably my last thing that I'm going to talk about tonight. And this is one that always gets people because I teach tarot classes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked people if they've ever, you know, played with playing cards. And people are like, oh, sure. And I say, do you know that you can do tarot with playing cards?
Yeah.
And a lot of people do not know that. And I know I've talked about it on the show before. But you can do tarot with playing cards.
You can.
The thing that you're missing is the major arcana and four court cards, because there are four in each suit in tarot and three in playing cards. But you can use playing cards to do tarot readings for your friends, parties. Now, the thing about most playing cards is that if you are doing reverse readings, which is common in tarot to have reverse cards in a playing card deck, usually the top and the bottom mirror each other. They're the same. So you'd have to mark the card somewhere, like put a little dot on one end of it. Not so that you could see it up, you know, from the other side. Just a little mark that shows what the bottom would be. So if you want to do reverse, you could. But you don't have to. You can just use the cards as they are. I had a reading a long time ago at the Renaissance Festival from a gal that she was like 1,000 years old. And she was doing readings with playing cards. And everybody else was using tarot cards. And I wanted to see how she did hers. So I went to her. And she was really good. It was really fun. And yeah, she was just using playing cards. She was so fast. I was like, man, you've been doing this for a long time. She was cool. It was fun.
Awesome.
But the tarot cards, I'll just explain how this works quickly. The different suits. So we have four suits with tarot cards, and there are four suits in playing cards. So the connection would be spades in playing cards is swords in tarot cards, hearts in playing cards, cups in tarot, diamonds in playing cards, pentacles in tarot cards, and then clubs in playing cards would be wands in tarot cards. And so you have the four suits. You have 1 through 10, and then you have the court cards. So in playing cards, you have the jack, queen, and king. And in the tarot, you have the page, the knight, the queen, and the king. So you have one extra court card in the tarot cards that you don't have in the playing cards. But it's okay because you can still do that. The jack in the playing cards would be take the place of both the knight and the page in the tarot cards.
Oh, what about the ace? Then you just consider aces as the ones, like number one?
Okay. Yeah, in tarot, it would be considered the first card.
Okay.
It would be number one. I know in card games, you can aces go.
Aces usually follows kings sometimes.
Yeah, it, or can.
Yeah. Their highest, yeah.
So it's Rain saying, what about the Joker? The Joker, I don't know. That could be, we'll call it the devil card of the of the majors, maybe. I don't know. Or the fool. You can call it whatever one you want. There, but you don't have to use the Joker. If you wanted to, I suppose you could.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the tarot cards, you can actually do readings with that. If you're looking at the spades and you're looking at swords, we're talking about thinking and communication. Hearts would be emotions and feelings and relationships. Diamonds, which is the earth cards, those are the practical matters, the money, the material things, the tangibles in life. And then the clubs would be, which is wands, and that's all about the creativity and the action and, you know, work, you know, things that you're working on or working towards. So
it all
anyway,
makes sense when you think about these. Yeah.
So you can do your own tarot readings if you have a deck of cards laying around at home. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
You can. Absolutely.
So some fun examples
anyway
of things that you might already have laying around at home that you could do a little divination work.
You don't have to go to the store and spend a lot of money. You can just use the stuff you already have at home, is what we're saying.
Yep. Easy. Just be careful.
Yes. Always set be
up,
careful.
Set up your proper protections.
Yes. Yes. Always. Always, always. And if you're unsure of something, reach out to somebody who can help you, because we don't want you to get into trouble.
Yes. We don't want anyone to get in trouble.
Karen's talking about dolls. You know, I have Bullhead right here, can I just say. Bullhead sits on my lap every show. So I need to get her a new outfit. Theater magic. Oh, I mean, now we're talking about cards again.
Yeah, Rain is saying, what if they're a trick deck of cards for theater magic? I don't know what a trick deck of cards is. I don't know what that would entail. So I guess I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that there would be mayhem. Mayhem would ensue.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For sure. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been a fun show. So we talked about a lot of different things. Wands were a clear winner. Everybody loved talking about the wands.
Yeah. We can definitely talk about those again.
Might have to think about that. Yeah. For another show.
Yeah.
Let's take a minute to plug our sibling show, The Calling, which is on tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Not sure what they're talking about tomorrow. I think it's just Kim on tomorrow night, and I can't remember who she's having.
She has some guests on, doesn't she, from another show or another paranormal group?
I think so.
To help co-host with her.
Yeah. So it's just her. They're trying this new thing where one of them co-hosts once a month or something to see how that works. So tomorrow's Kim's turn. So anyway, tune in, calling tomorrow night. Next week on the Gathering Radio Show, we're going to be talking about Eagles and all kinds of fun stuff I'm really excited about next week. And of course, we're having Lori Nauman on from the Minnesota DNR, and she was on last May with Heidi. It was a show that I couldn't be on, but she came on, and so we're going to be asking her about those eagles at the DNR nest and eagles in general, and I'm going to ask her about the owls, and we'll just talk about all kinds of stuff in Minnesota. So it'll be a fun show for sure.
It will, because last time when we talked to her, they had the eagles were teenagers in the nest. Mm-hmm. These goofy looking birds, right? And they were just dangling all over the place. Yes. And now they don't have any babies.
But no, they're getting.
They'll be laying eggs, correct?
Yeah. The last I saw, they were, you know, nesturating, getting that nest ready for this bunch. And Mana has a new man this year. So a little bit of drama going on there. But yeah, so I'm guessing hopefully she'll wait till after this cold snap is over before she lays those eggs.
Yeah. It'll be cool just to talk to her about at a different time of year to see what's going on there with nature, Mother Nature, her birds.
Because it's fun. So I'm sure she'll tell us all about what is actually really happening now, you know, and, once the eggs come, you know, in the eagle world, both Mama and Papa sit on those eggs, where owls, it's just Mom, right? Mom does it all. So interesting. It's kind of interesting to talk about the different raptors and see how they work.
Yeah, so, it's cool to see how the different birds, you know, how they play their roles and what responsibilities they do. And it's just, it's interesting. Absolutely. It's cool to see how they're just different.
Absolutely. And another thing I want to talk to her about is I just saw some very sad news that one of the Decora babies, I think she was born last year or hatched last year, was found dead by the road.
Oh.
Died of lead poisoning. So I will just say, any hunters out there listening, please do not use bullets with lead in it, because it kills these eagles and they die a terrible, violent, awful, horrific death when they get lead poisoning. So don't do it. But we'll talk to Lori about that too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We'll ask for some more insight onto that next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I think we could too, Karin. And I think we should do that, Heidi. Do a show on the mythology of eagles and owls.
Mm-hmm.
And even ravens and crows, too.
Yeah, we could do a raptors show on that.
I mean, look at Odin and his big ravens, man. I mean, you know, there's lots of stuff like that. So so that's what we got going on. So we have a fun show coming next week. It was a fun show this week. Thanks, everyone, for all of your input. And stay tuned. We might have a whole show about wands or wand making or, you know, something. We'll figure it out. It'll be something fun.
That'd be fun. I think it would be fun to do a show on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So anyway, anything else, Heidi, that we should say before we get into
the show? Well, we have a few shows coming up that we already have plotted out with some guests coming up. So we're getting our ducks in a row.
We're getting our stuff together. We still have to, get some dates down, but we're going to do it. We're figuring it out, and hopefully next week we can, you know, tell you what's going on for the next couple weeks. So we have a little bit work to do. Yeah, lead fishing too. Don't use anything lead. It's no.
Yep.
So anyway, Rain's running slow, so maybe we should babble a little bit longer. Is that what you're saying, Rain?
Right.
Well, I mean, we can, you know. But
we can keep talking. That's for sure.
We can keep talking. That's for sure. But I do like, Karin, I do like that suggestion. That's really a fun one.
I think we should do that on birds in general.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the more well-known birds.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that would be really a cool show for sure. But anyway, we are going to log off when we're supposed to, and they can just play another you saying that?
He's like, Crane's like, no.
Oh my gosh.
We get in trouble if we go over. We can't go over.
They can do another commercial or something. But anyway, thank you for joining. And hey, if there's any troops listening, be safe. Thank you. And God bless.
Yes. And thank you, everybody who's been tuning in, wherever you're from. All of our awesome chat room people, thank you so much for being here. Our hosts, the Para X Radio Network, we love being here. Thank you. And Sarge, our most amazing producer. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it's been another fun week. And yeah. We hope you're all staying safe and healthy. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Good night, everyone.